Welcome to Feedback. I am your host, as always, Ben Armstrong. So glad that you have joined me. With this craziness that is going on with the fake pandemic, and that's what I call it, a fake pandemic, it's very important to put the right person in office, right? We understand that. I mean, we're fighting for America's soul. We're fighting for whether the Constitution will even be followed. And you have someone like Ron Kind who's been sitting there, and he's a Democrat, so you know he's all cool with Governor Evers shredding our rights, shredding the Constitution, and acting like a dictator. I bet you Ron Kind hasn't said a bad thing about Governor Evers, but he's going to be opposed by somebody who I've interviewed once, and from the first interview I can tell is an awesome person, Derek Van Orden. He is running in the 3rd Congressional District, and he joins me right now. And he is a retired Navy SEAL as well, and that's just so awesome. I love that. Derek, thanks for joining me.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I have watched you from a distance, and I got to talk to you once, and I really love how you are running your campaign and how straightforward of a talker you are. You remind me of me, and that means you're awesome, baby.
Okay.
You don't pull any punches, and that's what I love. And you will talk straightforward. So talk to me about this ridiculous situation we're in which we have Democrat governors strangling their own economy because they think it's going to hurt Donald Trump. And I don't know if you believe it's 100% to hurt Donald Trump, but I do. I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that we've gotten to the point where we can really see that there are clearly defined political and ideological lines being drawn here, with the coronavirus being used to make that separation. So when Governor Evers used his emergency powers lawfully, you know, we followed that order. But by him trying to do an end around the legislature by having the health secretary extend this order so he didn't have to get approval from the legislature, which he would not have gotten, that's an issue. So we need to stand up as responsible American citizens and realize that there is no asterisk next to the First Amendment of the Constitution, our ability to assemble peacefully, our ability to worship God as we see fit, where we see fit, and when, or if we choose not to worship God. These aren't optional. They're ensconced in the Constitution specifically to prevent petty tyrants like Governor Evers taking away these rights. We have to stand up. We have to do it responsibly. We should open up the state again immediately, exercising safe protocols, but we have to open up sooner rather than later, because we are now on a precipice that we can fall down into socialism. And I think you mentioned that I speak plainly, and I do that intentionally, because there's so much double talk coming out of D.C. Ron Kind is fantastic at saying one thing to one person, saying the exact opposite to another person, and none of it making any sense. That is a specific ploy that he uses in order to bamboozle people into thinking that he is a moderate Democrat. He's not. He's a radical. He votes 95% of the time with Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, and the squad. That's all public record. So do we have to get back open? Yes. Do we have to do it safely? Yes. Do we have to do it sooner rather than later? Yes. And we're waiting for the Supreme Court to come out with a decision here with the lawsuit that the legislature brought against Governor Evers.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be out on Friday.
Yeah, I can't believe that they're sitting on that. That seems a little bit wimpy. I'm sick of a wimpy Republican Party. I bet you that you're sick of a wimpy Republican Party, too, being a retired Navy SEAL.
Well, you know what? I am. Here's the thing. This nation was not settled by timid men and women. We're bold, decisive adventurers that started this American experiment, and it's time to get back to it. Do you really think, does anybody think, Abraham Lincoln was a wilting flower. That man stood up to more pressure than I could possibly imagine. And guess what? He's the first Republican president. And the next Republican president that really just stood up and said enough is Donald Trump. He takes it every day on the chin from just about everybody surrounding him, absolutely everybody in the press, and he gives it straight back to him because he's got enough backbone to put the nation ahead of his own personal interests. We are missing that in D.C. We do not need a single another politician in Washington, D.C. We need statesmen.
That's right.
And stateswomen. And that's what I'm going to go do. And that's what Donald Trump has been doing. And I'm going to back his play because he's the only person I can think of that could possibly rebuild the economy that Tony Evers, Nancy Pelosi, and Ron Klein have managed to destroy in 60 days.
Yeah, Ron Klein tries to act like verbally that he's a moderate Democrat. If that were true, he would be going ballistic on Governor Evers right now, saying that you're squashing our civil liberties. I thought a moderate Democrat was for civil liberties.
Well, they were. A blue dog Democrat would. Right now, if John F. Kennedy was alive, he'd be a Republican. You can't argue that. Could you imagine, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country?
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine those words coming out of AOC's lips? Or Nancy Pelosi's lips, or Jerry Nadler's lips, or Ron Klein's lips? Absolutely not. So the Democrat Party has now become a group of leftists that unfortunately are putting their own personal political gains, and in Ron Klein's specific instance, his own financial wealth above the nation's business. And it's got to stop, man.
So yeah.
We need some straight-talking men and women in Congress that aren't going to put up with this junk.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that.
Communist tactics is the way I put it, and since they don't condemn communist tactics, I have officially said the Democrat Party is the official Communist Party of America now. They don't have a problem with communism. They clearly cheer on governors who are practicing communism. There's no other way to put it than communism. I mean, you have a government telling businesses and a governor sitting there saying, you can open, but you can't. You're essential, but you're not. I'm the governor, and I have all power. And I will decide whether you can work. I'll decide whether a business can function. I'll decide whether you can go to a park. I'll decide what you can and cannot do and whether you have a freedom. I'll decide if you can go to a church. I'll decide if you get to worship. I'll tell you how many people can be in that church. That is a communist governor. And if we don't label it correctly, we're done in. What do you think? I know I'm pretty aggressive, but I'd like a response to that.
Well, here's what I think. The techniques that are being used right now by many of the governors around the United States can only be described as nearly totalitarian. That's just factual. But I'll tell you this. We tend to do a broad brush over the entire Democrat Party, but there are people on the other side of the aisle that I'm capable of working with 100%. And we're going to have to get back together as Americans first to make sure that we put the welfare of my district, the state of Wisconsin, and the nation above our own personal interests. So I will absolutely work across the aisle with folks. I'm going to recognize the people that really care about their nation more so than their pocketbook. And I'm going to get with them and like-minded folks like Representative Dan Crenshaw and Representative, and we're going to make a very solid effort to bring us back from the edge. But to answer your question again, yes, the techniques that are being used right now by several governors are mirror perfectly the things that Mao Zedong used to do in Red China, Stalin did in the Soviet Union, and that's very, very unfortunate that we even have to bring this up as a discussion mm-hmm. point in the United States of America in 2020.
Yeah, and they admit that they're copying what China is doing right now, a communist nation still to this day, and they even admit they're doing the same tactics. So,
sometimes I can't believe that they really even understand what they're saying, that we are taking our lead from communist China. I mean, really, what the heck is that?
I know.
I thought it's so hard now to tell the difference between the Babylon Bee and the Onion and a press conference by Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, you just won a bunch of people over the fact that you just cited the Babylon Bee. Now people really love you.
I read it every day, man.
All right. Well, I'm running out of time. Last time I was running out of time, but I have a little more time to get to this. I want you to go into your stance on abortion. I am a huge pro-life person, and a lot of my audience is as well, I know. And so they would love to hear, what is your stance on abortion? Where are you? How pro-life would you even classify yourself? Go ahead.
Well, here's where I'm at. I was a paramedic for about 16 years. And I've 5 combat tours. I've had friends killed in training and in combat. And life should be protected whenever possible. I really have a very, very difficult time trying to justify abortion under any circumstance. That is a human child. And when we arbitrarily or capriciously kill that child, that's just what it is. We're killing children, and we cannot do that. I am ardently pro-life. Someone started a rumor that I was pro-choice, and I'm like, I couldn't even believe they're talking about me. We are ardently pro-life. With that goes increased adoption services, foster care service. If we're gonna expend our taxpayers' dollars, it should be for saving the lives of these children. And if the mothers, hopefully, pray God, have enough strength of character, and they can give birth to these children, we have to take care of them, because those are human lives and they're innocent, and we must absolutely protect them. And we should be reaching out to women that have had abortions in love and let them know that there's no way we agree with what took place, but that we love them also as a child of God. They're the apex of God's creation. And I don't know how I can answer that more strongly.
No, I love it. It's everything that's music to my ears, baby. And I'm so strong on abortion. I don't let people even say they like to do exceptions. Oh, well, what about this? What about rape and incest? What about this? Then once they get you to do an exception, what they're doing is trying to get you to say, well, maybe it's not a baby then. Look, if it's a baby, it's a baby. The baby is innocent. How about in rape and incest, we look to punish the people that committed the rape and look to punish that person. And I know it would be horrible for a woman to give birth to a child after being raped. It would be horrible. But they want that woman to even have more terror. They want to not only have her have to go through the rape, but then she has to deal with, I had to kill the child. Instead of at least, I know it'd be horrible to give birth, but when you give birth, you give it up for adoption. At least you know you gave the child a chance. You'll never regret that decision. The woman would actually have a more of a healing moment. If you want her to have a healing moment, that's how you do it. Telling her to murder the child, that's not a healing moment. And I've never understood the wimpiness of Republicans on that issue.
Well, you know what? Sexual assault is absolutely horrible.
It is.
And it is truly evil.
But just ask Tara Reid.
Fight evil. You can't compound you can't heal that evil by adding more on it. And killing someone, a human being that can only be described as the most innocent amongst us, is just compounding the evil of the rape or the incest. That's just the way it is. I mean, and it's horrible. I'm thank God I have been in this position. And if any woman is listening to me right now that has, and people aren't reaching out to you in love, they're wrong. So
yes,
if you are in this position now, I'm going to ask you to very seriously consider getting a hold of a multitude of the organizations that are out there that are willing to help you shepherd through this process, providing prenatal care, and then helping your child go up for adoption.
That's right. Some of the most fantastic women, especially on the pro-life side, are women who actually had abortions. We still love those women, and we don't want them to put their head down. Look, they've been told and were told 1,000 times that it's not a baby, it's okay. I feel bad because they're being brainwashed into thinking it. And then after it, they might regret it, and they might be thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? Look, we're here to help you. We want to help you through that. I love that you reach out to them, because we're not trying to wag our finger at them. We're wagging our finger at the politicians, not at them. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Derek Van Orden, for joining me. Again, Derek Van Orden running in the 3rd Congressional District against Ron Kind. Could you imagine replacing Ron Kind with someone like Derek? Oh, my gosh. It would be awesome. Good luck to you, Derek. I hope it happens.
Thank you, sir.
You have a great day out there. Take care, buddy. Folks, there you go. This has got to happen. We need Derek in there instead of Ron Kind. Oh, my goodness. It would be a blessing to Wisconsin. You know, some people are sending me information about something I said earlier about the flu vaccine only being, what, 20% effective? Some people are saying it's not even 20% effective. That's way too high. I don't know. I don't know what the effectiveness is of the flu shot. I've seen some reports that have said that. That's why I cite it, because that's what I personally have seen in the past. But, look, I hope Derek Van Orden, and I thank him for coming on the show, really gets a massive movement behind him. And we need more people that are politically incorrect, or at least not afraid to be politically incorrect. And he's one of those people. Now, not everyone is going to be as aggressive as me. I understand that, but he's pretty close to being me, and I love that. All right, let's go to the phone lines right now, and we'll go up first with Matt. Matt, welcome to Feedback. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Ben, this is for all those state Supreme Court judges that are taking their sweet time for something that they shouldn't. And every state shall be bound, judges in every state shall be bound by the Constitution, the laws and the treaties of the United States, which shall be the supreme law of the land. You know, I told you before, they're running the clock out. They're spineless. They should not be Supreme Court judges.
I don't understand. It doesn't make sense that they'd sit there and take this long. Look, if they rule against us, that's awful. Well, at least they made a ruling, and then it should be challenged all the way up to the United States Supreme Court to say, look, the Wisconsin Supreme Court doesn't even uphold the Constitution. That's what would be clear. But look, they know they have to rule in our favor. They know it, and I think you're right, Matt. I think they're trying to hold off. They're trying to see if this Evers whole lockdown will maybe end, or the anger of the people, if it slowly starts opening, people will start to relax and not be on their case. And then what? Will they ever make a ruling? Or they can say, you know, it's already open and this case is moot, so that they don't have to really ever make a ruling to show that future governors can't do this? Are they afraid to set the precedent that future governors can't do this? Because that's what I'm hoping for in this. I need a ruling so that governors forevermore in the state of Wisconsin know you can't do this. That's what I need. What do you think, Matt?
Hey, I agree with you 100%. You know, the thing is that we got to make our voices heard. You know, the weather's getting nicer. It's warming up. Maybe we should have one of those mass demonstrations that you see in the large cities. You know, we should take back Madison. Evers, I'm telling you, his name should be called Evil. Never mind Evers. But we got to do something, and we got to open up this Wisconsin. I called the Wisconsin mayor that just got elected in Rapids here to open up the local economy. Screw Evers. I called the police chief. Disregard the orders from the Evers. We have to start this somewhere. They did it in Texas. They're doing it in other places. We got to do it now here. So I call on all the local officials and police departments and stuff. Don't obey these unlawful orders. All right? Catch you later, buddy.
Matt is Boston strong. Right, Matt? Boston
That's
strong,
right.
Baby. All right.
Yep.
I know, because we talked about Boston, what, like on Monday or something. And, well, we weren't so nice. But you know what? We need... We need those tough Boston guys. I'm glad you're here, Matt. Thanks so much.
See you later.
Yep. All right. Let's go to Steve on line 2. Steve, welcome to Feedback. Go ahead, Steve.
Good morning, Ben. Steve. Here. Just was wanted to let you know on some stuff I've seen around the world. And, you know, I've done a little bit of traveling and what I learned in Poland. Now, Poland is extremely religious. You know, they're Catholic. And I just think to myself that during the entire Soviet rule of the Iron Curtain and over them and everything else, is that the Polish were the only people that were allowed religious freedom, quote unquote, to go to mass. Even they say that was a protest of communism, which begs the question, they had more religious freedom by being able to go to mass in Poland under Soviet rule than kind of what's going on here. Think about it.
That's true.
When you go there, you learn that how Pope Paul II and Reagan, you know, worked together. And I never knew this growing up because, well, you know, public school. And, well, where I got to go there in Kraków or Krakow, there, St. Mary's Basilica, where Pope Paul II, you know, originally served. And it was just like a potpourri or a buffet of learning. And I got to go to Auschwitz, which is actually 45 miles outside of, you know, of Kraków or Krakow. And most people don't realize that that's where it's at. They think it's in Germany. It's not. It's in Poland. You know, it's 45 minutes away. And on the last day I was there, you know, that's an attention getter, especially when you go there with a zero real feel, you know, 20 degrees, 20 mile an hour wind. It just, you can't believe what that can get to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the last day I was there, there was this thing called a dictator where they went around, they went to this thing where they got to see where all the Soviets built this stuff. It's called the Nova Huta. They built the second largest steel mill in the world. And the guy younger than me was giving this tour. And I remember him telling me, he goes, I remember the day when I was a kid of dreaming of I could have a orange or a piece of chocolate more than once a month. And you think about the harsh hand of government and what that can do, you know. And the last thing I'll leave you with is this. The Nova Huta was like a park in the middle, and was named after Lenin, and they had the 5 points of the the Soviet star around it. And when they renamed everything, you would thought they would have renamed that middle at Lenin after, like, say, some Polish man or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't. They named it Ronaldo Reagan Park.
What's that for?
Ronald Reagan Park.
Oh!
They renamed it because they hated Stalin and they hated the Soviets so much in Poland. They hated him more than the guy told me, 7-3 ratio more than Hitler. And I just think of that and communism, mm-hmm. and socialism and everything else.
Awesome stuff, Steve. I got to take a break. That's the only reason why I have to cut you off. That's great stuff, or else I'd let you go even more. Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you.
Folks, here's the phone number for you, 715-845-2155, 715-845-2155. And by the way, Pope John Paul II, Pope John Paul may be the best pope of all time. All right, folks, I'm going to go back to the phone lines, but before I do, I just want to mention, and you may have heard it on other shows already, but I haven't had a chance to address it, and that is the CrowdStrike firm that looked at the DNC server. We find out in 2017 that, they testified, I believe it, if this is off the top of my head, in front of Congress. Because those transcripts were released, that the head of CrowdStrike basically confirmed that now remember, this is already not a legit investigation of who hacked the DNC server. But even with the illegitimate CrowdStrike being the ones on behalf of the Democrat Party looking into it, had to admit that they had no evidence that the Russians hacked the DNC server. If you remember, I have been, because I don't do it out of guessing, telling everybody for an extremely long time that the Russians did not hack the DNC server. I know that for a fact. Not, at least not the WikiLeaks emails is what I was saying. They may have attempted, but I know for a fact the WikiLeaks emails did not come from the Russians. How did I know that? Because way back, probably in 2017, I saw the experts. They know what the download speed of the WikiLeaks emails, John Podesta's emails, were downloaded at. They knew the speed. And it had to be fished from the server itself, from inside. No internet connection could download those files that quickly at that speed. Science proved by beyond any doubt that the Russians were not the ones behind the WikiLeaks emails. Now, the media had to know this. And I kept telling you, they're lying and they're covering it up. They won't even report that to you because then all of their Russian crap falls apart. Now, I've had that information for a long time, so it's not a shock to me when CrowdStrike, there is testimony that CrowdStrike admits, oh, yeah, well, we didn't find that there's evidence that the Russians did anything. Look, that's not a shock. I am convinced Seth Rich was the person who did the download because Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, threw out his name by accident when talking about the Podesta emails and leaks. And anyone who watches that interview of Julian Assange talking about Seth Rich can tell he accidentally revealed the source from which he got those emails. And he was disturbed because Seth Rich was mysteriously killed in the streets. And there was no mugging. Seth Rich's family, which I believe is probably filled with Democrats politically, because if Seth Rich himself was working for the DNC, one can assume that he probably has a family that mostly leans DNC. They have never wanted his death politicized, and they don't like talking about it. I always find that fascinating. Nobody knows who killed your son, and they don't like talking about it, and they don't really want it politicized. Okay, I understand not wanting his death politicized, but shouldn't they be going crazy trying to find out from the government who the heck killed our son? I have to talk about this because I have been proven 100% right, and all of us have, on this. The Russians weren't behind the WikiLeaks emails. The investigation into Roger Stone should be thrown out. See, they knew this in 2017. Secondly, you have CrowdStrike being able to look at the DNC server, but the FBI was not allowed. That the DNC told the FBI, no, you don't get to look at our server. We're going to give it to our own company, a company that we trust, CrowdStrike. Now, let me ask you this. Can you tell the FBI, no, you can't look at my computer. No, you're not allowed to look at my computer, FBI. If the FBI comes and says, we need to look at your computer, can you say, no? The DNC, how can they be above the law? They can tell the FBI, screw you. See, that means the DNC controls the FBI. Or at least was at that time. Proving the DNC could tell the FBI, nope, you can't do this, and yes, you can do that. Making sense why the FBI then would then frame Donald Trump. Because the DNC was controlling the FBI. And you don't need any more evidence than that. Oh, I'm sorry. I could keep going, but that would be unfair to the phone calls. I had to get that out, or else I wouldn't have been able to. Phil, second-time caller. Welcome to Feedback. Go ahead, Phil.
Hi, how are you, Ben?
Well, I get fired up at times, but I'm doing great.
I like that. I wanted to just congratulate Mr. Tiffany on his win. That is such a breath of fresh air that
yes.
You know that's all taken care of. I travel for work quite a bit, so I also just wanted to thank you for such a great show and such a great job in the message that you send. And also, I live about 2 hours east of Wausau, and our local 4th of July celebration has been canceled. And I think it's utterly sad that our American birthday or American celebration is canceled due to the coronavirus. Don't get me wrong. I feel bad for...
Wait a minute. Phil, I got to correct you. Your 4th of July celebration was not canceled due to the coronavirus. Your 4th of July celebration was canceled due to the government.
Exactly. They want to make it look like it's the coronavirus, but it's the government.
Yeah, the coronavirus can't cancel anything. No, the coronavirus can't do any of shutting down businesses. The coronavirus can't make anything be canceled. Only the government can do that, and we keep blaming the coronavirus.
Yes.
It's the government. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's fine. And so it's canceled. Okay, we have a Supreme Court that met in everything. Would you guys please rule and get this figured out? You're supposed to be working for us and what's the best of the citizens and for the good of the citizens. I feel like you have said in the last segment, they're dragging it out and dragging it out and dragging it out. And all this while, the only person that's winning is Tony Evil. That's all I have today, Ben. Thank you for an amazing job that you do. I'll hang up and listen to the
Well, thank
rest.
You for thank being you. An amazing call, Phil. Get him, Phil.
You
need to be a third-time caller and a regular caller, because then I can always say, get him, Phil. All right. Thanks so much, Phil. That you're dead on. I don't have to add anything. I don't have to add anything to what Phil said. He nailed it, and it stands on its own. Let's go to Louie. Louie, welcome to Feedback. Go ahead, Louie.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Louie.
You started with a caller that, read the supremacy clause into the record here. And the problem is when the judges look at this at the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. all they can see is the whole Emergency Powers Act is unconstitutional. Everything they say and do in there is designed to
absolutely
suspend our rights.
Yes, and so the whole thing is unconstitutional, and that's why they don't want to rule on it.
That's exactly right, and they're so busy behind the scenes trying to figure out how to leave it in power because the Republicans want it in power also.
That's
the problem.
Yes, they don't want to rule on this because if they rule on it, like you're saying, Louis, properly, it would prove that even orders from the governor or orders from your health department are unconstitutional. They cannot be treated as laws because only the legislature can make laws. And unless the orders are directly to public employees, they have authority over public employees like the president does with his executive orders. The president can fire public employees in the federal government. The state government can control public employees, but their orders do not and should never affect the private sector. The governor cannot make an order that should be able to affect the private sector. When a governor makes an order and it affects the private sector like a law or the health department, that is automatically unconstitutional. And they've been fooling the American people. We've been not really fighting that fight our whole lives. And this is exposing that. You're right, Louis.
I called Tom Tiffany and Mary Felskowski, and I told them, the Emergency Powers Act should start with the Supremacy Clause and say nothing in here allows you to violate our rights.
Throw the whole thing out. Yes.
And judges, they're all compromised. They're all got stuff behind their scenes somewhere, and they don't want to let it out. That's why they all keep doing this stuff.
Louis, can I get you to go and be a lawyer or something and go fight this in front of the Supreme Court? Because you'd win.
Well, that's it. And it starts with the 1933 Gun Control Act. What a joke that was.
Well, folks,
the only reason that won is because the public defender and the moonshiner did not show up in D.C. to even say anything. So totally unopposed, that's how the United States won, and the Supreme Court refuses to hear another case like that.
If they rule on this and prove that the governor doesn't have these powers or the health department has overstepped its bounds, then we can bring lawsuits in all sorts of other areas, and they know that, and that's what they're scared to death of. You nailed it, Louis. I knew that, but I didn't express it. But I'm glad that you expressed it because I have never expressed that yet on the radio. I had thought about it one time, and then I never did. Thank you for bringing that out.
This should have been the second thing they did after Act 10, would have been to repeal the Emergency Powers Act or change it drastically so it was constitutional.
Again, fantastic call. I don't have anything to add to what Louie had to say. Thanks, Louie. I got to take a break, and I got to squeeze in one more call. So that last call will be Frank when we come back from the break. Frank, hang on. We'll get to you. Folks, you guys are awesome. Keep being awesome. Frank, they've set a high bar. I know you can match it. All right, folks, let's go right back to the phone lines and go to Frank. Frank, welcome to Feedback. Go ahead, Frank. Frank, are you there? Let me try to punch Frank up again. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, I'm here, Ben.
Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead, Frank.
There is no reason, I believe, that we could, that the city of Wausau couldn't open up more businesses than what we do. But yet we're going to have a $3 trillion stimulus jammed down our throat unless the Senate says no.
The Senate will say no to that $3 trillion. But remember, I had a problem with the $2 trillion that they passed. I said, because look at them set the precedent. Look at them show the American people, hey, we can just throw trillions of dollars around. What do you think the Democrats are going to do with that? They're going to go and say, well, we already did it once.
Yeah, and look at all the red states that have kept their budgets. Their state legislatures have gone into careful spending. Make sure you do this. Let's get that. That's a priority. We've got to fix these roads. Take this. And they're the ones that are going to end up paying for California, New York, Washington, states like that.
Yes, the Democrats are trying to take that they mismanage their states, which they always do, and then they're trying to make the conservative states bail them out through the federal government. Frank, I got to run. But that's yes, you too. Thanks for that. Everybody was fantastic today. You usually are, but I think today you were even better than normal. It was awesome. We're living in madness. Let me give you another example, though, of for a long time we lived with things that are unconstitutional. Property taxes are unconstitutional. You have a right to own your property. When you own something, they can tax you on the sale. Like if you own something, you buy a TV, you pay a sales tax, but then you never pay taxes on that TV ever again. Property taxes are forever. And they keep charging you over and over and over again. They're really charging you rent. And if you are one penny short and you refuse to pay that penny, they can come and confiscate your land. So you never, ever do own your property. Anyone who pays off their house knows that they still have to pay their taxes every single year or else they'll be evicted. That is unconstitutional. Property taxes are unconstitutional. But nobody goes and fights it, so we're stuck with it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. I love you guys. See ya!